Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's great to be with you guys in the afternoon. I know this isn't really what we always do, but I'm trying to make a concerted effort to go live at different times throughout the week, just to make opportunity for some that perhaps can't make the morning shows. But yeah, so here we go, 2:30 in the p.m. What's up? Shout out to my man Joel for recommending this. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited about today's show. Today is, it's almost like a cluster episode in the fact that I have a lot of wide-ranging topics that have, you know, people I've reached out to and that I want to get to. We're going to be talking salary cap. We're going to be talking roster moves. We're going to be talking restricted free agents. We've got a super chat that came in super late from my guy, John Lottie, when we were closing out the show. So we're going to start off with that, talking some defensive tackle. A lot of defensive tackle draft talk in today's episode. It's going to be fun. This is episode 1339 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And, you know, as always, thank you to our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George 365, and Corey Robbins. They make this show happen. And for all the people showing up in the afternoon, all the hashtag CCs, man, you guys are the best of the best. So that's right. Here we go. NY Niners, pleasant surprise, made my day. Dave says, yeah, supposed to be in a meeting right now. Uh-oh, that's okay. It's recorded. You can come back and check it out. Jesse says it's 5:30 here. Loving getting to listen after work. That's what's up, see? And shout out to the man, Joel, the whole reason why we're doing this show late. He was the one that gave me the idea. When Joel speaks, Chapman listens. He's such a good dude. So really, really do appreciate you guys. Everybody that's coming in. And Josh with his, you know, daily Nick Skorton can play both edge and defensive tackle. He would be, out of Texas A&M, he would be that kind of NASCAR package role, the Arden Key, the It's Your Gross Mottos role. He could do that for sure. Oh, Sean, hope you get to feeling better, my friend. Let's go. Let's go. And Kevin said, scared me. Thought no show today. We got a show. That's what's going on. So, news today from the NFL. The salary cap has been, it's always a projection. And it still is to a lesser extent, but they came in with some bracket numbers. The 2025 salary cap, and I'm going to tell you what all this means here in a second, is going to be between $227.5 million and $281.5 million. So you still have this $4 million cap wiggle space, Well, what does this number mean? To us, not much. But this is a $22 million increase from last year. That tells you just how well the NFL is doing. Money is a booming. They are selling lots of beers. I'm doing my best to drink them all at the games. They're doing very, very well. But probably the most important thing is that everybody was expect, not everybody, but 49ers cap, over the cap, and Spotrac, they had the projection to be 272 to 275. Well, the fact that this is at least $2.5 million over the largest estimate, and at most, you're talking an extra $9.5 million over the conservative estimates, that's gigantic. Again, to put this into players being paid by the 49ers, Malik Collins, our only starting defensive tackle we have on the roster, is a $4.7 million cap hit. So on the smallest side, basically one of our starting defensive tackles is free. On the large side, two of our defensive tackles would be free, right? Does that make sense? So again, always trying to put this practical approach to these numbers, which mean nothing to us. If you're making $4.7 million a year, reach out to me, invest in the 49ers Rush podcast. We can use some revenue, but that's okay. I'm joking. We're fine. We're doing great. But right. You talk about these hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. It just adds a lot to it. Now, to put the 2025 cap year into perspective, and this is important whenever it comes to guys like, Hargrave and Debo, who I do not expect to be on the team moving forward, who have major cap penalties in releasing those guys. This is the final season of a COVID-adjusted salary cap. When COVID took place and the majority of the NFL couldn't have fans in stadiums, revenue was lost. Considerable revenue was lost. So the NFL and the NFLPA got together and said, hey, instead of having 1 year with a giant cap hit, let's spread the cap hits out over the next five seasons. Well, 2025, this upcoming year, is the last year that will take place, which means 2026, expect that salary cap to bump up. Like we just saw a $22 million cap increase. I'm expecting $40 to $50 million increase into 2026. Again, so what? Who cares? Well, let me tell you this. This is where the 49ers have a dramatic advantage. Dramatic advantage because, one, the 49ers are already in good cap space situation overall, but the 49ers roll forward and have a higher cash to cap spending than almost every team in the NFL. Well, what's that mean? The NFL has a salary cap, this is the most you could spend, but most teams don't spend that much. If you look at how much these teams actually pay. So, for example, you look at the New England Patriots, right? Well, the New England Patriots had a salary cap last year of $186 million. That's what they're projected to be at this year, $186 million. Well, now look at the 49ers. They're projected to be at $274. That's not the cap space or whatever else. The 49ers pay cash out to their players. And they roll forward cap space by doing so. Some teams, some owners would say, you know what? We're not competitive. Let's keep some of that salary cap from spending, and we'll just pocket that to the owner. There's lots of those. And the funny thing is, even a lot of like the big money teams, quote unquote, like Jerry Jones is notorious for this. He pockets so much of the cash. He doesn't spend it all. He doesn't spend all his players. Jed York does. And so the larger this number gets, the larger the discrepancy gets from owners that are willing to pay out this money and are willing to put that stuff out there to go and basically get their players. And so I think that's just really, really important to understand. Now, on top of that, Jed York and the 49ers are selling 10% ownership claim in the 49ers, which comes out to about $900 million. This is another way in which Jed York and the York family, whatever, spend more money on the 49ers. We have some of the highest paid coaches, Robert Saleh's highest paid defensive coordinator, all these different things. You don't have to do those things. Jed York does. And I've I haven't been a big Jed York guy, and he was terrible early on. But I have to be honest. There's a lot of times where it's like, man, your owner can ruin a franchise. Look at Jerry Jones. Look at the Bengals. Look at the freaking Giants. Look, there's so many teams. The Bears. Not the Bears. Sorry, the Browns. Yeah, you put the Bears in there too. There's just a lot of crappy owners. The Colts. Just terrible owners that are either their hands are too involved in the football production or they're cheap. Hands are in their pockets. I don't think that we have any of those problems now since we got Jed York 2.0. Obviously, the Harbaugh, Tom Sula, all that stuff. Yikes. Trent Baalke, yeah, terrible. But I think he learned and he got the hell out of the way. And he's spending. And remember, for better or for worse, I do like that this is the case. When Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch went to Jed York and said, hey, we're going to trade up for Trey Lance. Didn't work out. But we still want to pay Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't want to get rid of him. We want to pay him, and we want to trade for a rookie. That kind of worked out. A lot of owners would be like, man, screw that. That's millions of dollars out of my pocket. Again, I'm usually against almost all the owners. But I think in this regard, I think that it is very, very positive. And I think that this, is, again, is another positive for the 49ers. And again, just to look at a visualization chart for our YouTube watchers, this is a chart that shows basically effective cap space versus snaps that you're bringing back. The 49ers are in the top left quadrant, which is the good quadrant. These are teams that are returning a lot of players and have quality, positive cap space. Patriots, Lions, 49ers, Bengals, Bears, Packers, Broncos. That's about it. They're where they want to be. They are above the positive whenever it comes to healthy cap space teams. Now, a lot of the contenders are below the line. Chiefs, way below. Seahawks, one of the worst cap situations in the NFL. Bills, Texans, Eagles, Colts, Jets, Dolphins, Cowboys, Brown, Saints. Man, we're playing a lot of these teams this year. Bad cap situations. 49ers are not there. They're not there. They're in a very positive financial place currently. And that's even with the Hargrave, which is an awful signing. That's even with Debo and his agent taking the 49ers to the cleaners. I've been saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. You're not trading Debo. Debo's getting released. And in today's NFL with void years and all that stuff, this is where we are. And for the people that are like, well, the salary cap's not real. Well, then why is Aaron Rodgers cut? Devontae Adams going to be cut? Cooper Kupp going to be cut? Debo Samuel going to be cut? Taysom Hill going to be cut? Those aren't all bad football players. It's contracts. And teams that are proactive and can cut bait after the loss has taken place, those are the healthy teams. And like, man, I've been screaming it from the mountaintops for too long, and I hate that I've been saying it. Javon Hargrave was awful. That dude was terrible. He had a good Super Bowl, but like, he was awful. First year was okay. Second year was just, ooh, then he got the injury. But I mean, he was so bad. But again, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, how much do you put on Nick Sorensen, the fact that every single defensive player in the entire 49ers roster got worse? The only players that performed well were rookies, Diamador Lenore, and that's it. And guess what? Guess who Diamador Lenore's position coach was prior to last year? It's Nick Sorensen. The only vet on the team that got better was because Nick Sorensen wasn't his position coach anymore. anyway, I don't know how we got there, but it's in my notes later. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid if you get it right. That's where it is. So go to PrizePicks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. PrizePicks, run your game. Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
All right, we're scrolling. Yeah, people talking Joey Bosa. Again, another guy that's going to get cut. Probably. I don't think you trade for him, but he will probably get cut. It's bad out there, man. If he could stay healthy, he'd be a damn good player. And yeah, I hope, again, that salary cap, $277.5 million to $281.5 million. The more the merrier. That benefits the Niners the more that it goes up. It really, really does. Ed says, doesn't seem like it makes a difference. I'm disappointed in the NFL. Come on, owners. Yeah. Spend that money, baby. The more money owners spend, the more money goes into the pockets of the NFL players. And I think that's a positive. And plus, you get a better product on the field. I believe that as well. Joel, he said, my late show. I just got to the gym. That's what's up, man. Hopefully you get a great workout in. I love it. I love it. I love it. NY Niners. This is where you win the bet when you kick the can forward. The Niners have done a lot of void years, and they're betting on that 2026 boom. They're betting on that boom. The Eagles are betting on the boom as well. And they have Howie Roseman, who I think is one of the best GMs in the history of the NFL, definitely currently. Like, smart teams are doing this. Smart teams are doing this. The unsmart teams, you're talking Seahawks, you're talking Saints, you're talking Cowboys, you're talking Falcons. Those are four teams that are way behind the eight ball that are just, they're screwing themselves. Those four teams are just not, and of course, the Browns are in a whole category unto themselves. That franchise, and that's why whenever people are like, oh, trade Debo and first-round pick for Myles Garrett. No, they can't take Debo. They had to trade Amari Cooper because they could have paid him. Like, no, they are unloading. They're offloading contracts, not taking on. not taking on. That's what it is. And again, right here, Pharrell, appreciate you. Netflix, Paramount, Amazon, all those things are going to increase. And Netflix is in the rumors of buying CBS's shares to cover all Sunday football, right? So it's always been Fox, CBS on that, you know, first and second window on Sundays. Netflix apparently is trying to buy out CBS. Yeah, for the consumer, prices are not going to go back down. I hate to tell you this. I don't want to get into my master's economic theory stuff. I'm going to leave that for a different show. Probably no show ever. But prices ain't going back down, man. And I know whenever cable, it was like, oh, we could just buy a la carte. This is great. We don't have to pay the ridiculous price for cable. Yeah, I knew that was going to last either. But that's okay. That's another show. That's another show. So that's what we got. I'm trying to catch up on the chat. We're doing okay. Yeah, the international games seem to all be set. The negative, there's not a Mexico City game. It seems like they were supposed to have that stadium ready a year ago. Now it's 2 years delayed. Estadio Azteca. That's where Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers want to play. Now it does seem like London is more and more a possibility against the Cleveland Browns. Again, if the 49ers play that London game, man, 49ers Rush Road Trip will 1,000% be there with the UK Faithful chapter. They are the best of the best. You can't stop me. I've already told the wife, I'm going for a week. I hope you come with me. If you can't, I'll be back in a week. I will not miss that game. I don't give a damn when it is. I have two goals. Two goals that I can control. Probably not going to happen financially, but these are my goals. My goal is to never miss while I'm physically able, never miss a 49ers Cowboys game in person, and never miss a 49ers international game in person. Those are my two 49ers fan things I control. Like obviously Super Bowl and all that, I don't control that. What I can't control is try my hardest to save and be financially responsible so that I can attend every 49ers Cowboys game ever in person. And never miss a 49ers. I'm telling you guys, if you had the choice. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Paul, I heard London, and I was straight here. My man. I cannot tell you guys this. And I hope. I don't think this would piss anybody off. The Super Bowl is incredible. And if you ever get the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, I understand how lucky I was. And a lot of you guys made that happen for me. It was awesome. It was a bucket list item. Probably never going to go to a Super Bowl again. Even if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl here in San Francisco, I might go. I might go, but might not. International games is a different atmosphere that caters to the fan. It's just an unbelievable, friendly, welcoming, universal awesomeness around the entire week. Super Bowl is about money, and it's about status. It is people that don't even know what down it is that paid 10 grand for their seats because they're corporate employer and they don't give a damn. There's no passion in the stadium. It's cool, but I'm just telling you, save thousands of dollars and go to an international game. I'm telling you, it's going to be better. You're going to have a better experience. You're going to love it. David, Lee and Paul are the best. They would be so pumped if we play in London. I'm hoping, man. Hey, look at this. Yeah, all the love in the world goes to Paul Hope, Lee Flackers, I just freaking all of them. Lee Gallen, but he goes by Flackers. All those guys, I love it, man. Right here, Paul, getting to watch my first ever 49ers game at Levi's with John Chapman was a bucket list item for me. It was great, man. Yeah, Joel, right here. If there's a London game, do I need to get tickets ASAP? The ticket process, I'm pretty good at tickets, right? Out of the country, not my forte. I tell everybody, wait. Don't buy tickets until the day of or the day before or at least 2 days before. Just wait. And again, I'm going to tell everybody this. When the schedule comes out, do not go buy football tickets. That's the worst time to buy football tickets. In today's day and age, it's not like sellouts mean you're not going there. There are third-party agencies. The only time you don't wait to buy tickets, international games, holiday primetime games. That's it. The rest of the time, save your damn money. And if you save money, hey, send a little bit back to the 49ers Rush. Go subscribe to us. And if we save you, I'm telling you, you'll save so much money if you just wait to buy your tickets. Just trust me. Trust me. I'm not good at most things. I'm pretty good at that. All right, let's get to some roster moves. Shocked by this one, and this is a little bit of a Demetrius Flanagan Fouls DFF was released. Now, a couple things. One, my mentions blew up, which you guys know me in special teams. I have not missed one special teams play in 4 years. DFF was awful. I do not like it when players are released. Now, this was a procedural move. Because of his injuries, they can't release a player whenever he's, you know, whatever, injured. So he finally cleared. They released him, doing him kind of a favor. His contract expired this year anyway. So it gives him a little bit of time to find a place to sign with. And I hope he makes so much money for any other team in the NFL. I don't want him on our team anymore. I don't think that he's a good football player. I don't think that he's a good special teams football player. Maybe if he goes to a good special teams coordinator, he could be a good player. But he's just not. I'm sorry. Can't line up right multiple times in one game. Penalties. Releases blockers to the inside every single time on punt protection. Gave up a blocked punt early in the season in a core game that cost us a divisional game. Injured a lot. Missed tackles. He's not a good player. And he had a guaranteed, fully guaranteed contract this past year, which I just thought was stupid. And meanwhile, D Winters and Jalen Graham and Tato Bethard are just sitting on the sideline. And this dude's just taking up all these snaps. And I just don't understand it. He's not good. So am I happy that he's not on the 49ers? Hell yes. My job is to cover football. And a lot of people got upset. Like, I'm sorry. My job's to cover the 49ers. And if that pisses you off, I'm sorry. When the 49ers team gets better, that's a positive thing in my book. Am I happy that this guy is out of a job? God, no. I celebrate every single time a player gets paid, even whenever it's stupid. But this needed to happen. Do I want bad things to happen to Nick Sorensen, Brian Schneider, DFF? No. I think DFF's awesome, and I don't think I'd want him back as a coach. If you can't play fundamentally sound, I don't know how you coach fundamentally sound, but I know that he's Fred Warner's bestie. Nick Sorensen loves him. Everybody loves this dude. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about him. I am talking about the play on the field. The 49ers are better because if there is even a slight chance that DFF is not on this team next year, that is a positive. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to hold that back. And if that's not your thing and you think I'm a jerk and you don't want to listen to the show or follow the show, I totally understand. I get it. But I'm sorry. I saw that the 49ers got better. This offseason gets better. It gets better. So my question is, if I've offended you by what I post or whatever, and I'm usually not that guy, were you offended whenever I post the same thing about Devondre Campbell? Because people love that shit. Making fun of Devondre Campbell, everybody loves. Now, Devondre Campbell quit on his team. DFF didn't do that. But I'm sorry, the 49ers got better when 45 is no longer on this team. That's my job. My job is to report 49ers football. That's what I'm doing. And so I understand. I'm not celebrating somebody losing employment. His contract was going to toll in or expire anyway. But the mere chance, and I think it's more likely now that he does not return, is wonderful news for all 49ers fans, all of them. And if somebody wants to come at me and say he was actually a good special teams player, oh boy, you're going to get an earful? That dude was so bad. Oh, so bad. All right, let me see here. I want to make sure I didn't piss anybody off. Let's see here. Jason, appreciate you. Can't wait to go to my very first Rush road trip. I'll see you in New Orleans and Houston. We already got the venues picked out, Jason. So can't wait to see you. Love the AVI there with Trent. That's awesome. Yeah, 49ers definitely drafting a linebacker. You've got Fred Warner. You've got D Winters, Tatum Bethune. Jalen Graham, he's one of the ones on the exclusive rights free agency that they signed. We'll talk about them here in a second. But yeah, you need probably multiple linebackers. DFF slew-footed. I like it. DFF was 100% a problem. If you watch our film breakdowns over at the 49ersrush.com, 1,000%. 1,000 respect. Now, nuanced take. Here we go. Thank you, Monkey Boy. And I remember I was at the game. This happened. And I was saying the same damn thing. Monkey Boy added a bit more DFF respect going in injured when Campbell pieced out. Respect the character, but we're better without him gone. Right. Dude, I mean, attitude, friendship, locker room guy, I do not discount that at all. And the fact he had to play hurt because Campbell was such a, bitch on the sideline. Yes, 1,000%. But we are better. We are way better. And I'm sticking with this. I put this out there, and a lot of people got mad at me. I don't care. You're mad. That's your fault. You don't have to interact with my stuff. I said I want to make sure I get this right. It seems like the team favorite, coach favorite players that aren't producing, they're saying goodbye to. This offseason, 2025, has been about business and production. It's about business and production. If you're not doing both, I don't care how nice you are. No. Put up or shut up. That's where we are. And Kevin, right here, so far we are trimming the bad fat this offseason. Yes. Yes. 49ers loyalty program goes for a bit for some players, but yeah, let's go, man. Terradome. And yes, man, JC is not. It's funny, whenever one of my very first coaching jobs, I'm going to leave names out of this. All my friends joke around because I'm not the type of person that's going to do something. I'm a team player. But if it compromises something that I believe in, I don't care. I do not care. So I'm in a team meeting, and I'm in a meeting about players, okay? And some players stole phones of other players, got caught, and the coach came to me and said, "Chapman, I need you to handle this. Get the phones back and get them back to the players without anybody getting involved that would suspend our players. Basically, don't go to the school and try to keep everything hush because a couple of them were good players." And to which I said, "Coach, that's wrong." And everybody was watching out of the corner of their eye because I was low man on the totem pole here. I was like, "I'm not going to do that." He's like, "What do you mean you're not going to do it? If I tell you to do something, you do something." This is big time, state champion coach, one of the highest paid people in Texas. I don't care. Great guy. Not in this situation, he wasn't. I was like, "I ain't doing that." He's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "No, that's wrong. Those dudes need to suffer the consequences of their actions. If we don't, they're going to continue to think that they can get by with this. This is high school football. What the hell are we doing, man? What the hell are we doing? Are we raising criminals? They stole other people's stuff. Let's have them pay some consequences." And so he got really upset at me, called me at his office, and I was like, "Dude, I'm not doing it. You fire me right now. I don't give a damn. I'm not going to do this. I think that this is wrong. Find somebody else to do it, or you want to let me handle it, I'm going to handle it. And consequences are going to come across." And so anyway, long story short, lots of cuss words and whatever else. I'm laughing the whole time. About a month later, that coach called me into his room and said, "You were right." And, the kid definitely got in trouble and whatever else and missed some games. But who gives a shit? That's not what we're here. I'm not here to win games, coach. I'm here to raise kids. I'm here to turn boys into men. And I don't think that this falls in line with that. So thank you, Terado. I'm very chill. But if somebody wants some, I don't give a damn who you are. That's why I'm my own. That's why I'm my own boss now. Jason, John is that high school coach, enjoys making kids cry. Well, there were some tears that happened, but I'm usually pretty nice, but you get on my bad side. Yes, my son, man. Ooh, not healthy. Right here, Niner Go. Oren Burks was trash here also. He got him a ring. That dude balled out, but he wouldn't play for Nick Sorensen anymore. And so, yeah, no doubt. Vic Fangio, one of the most linebacker-friendly coaches in the history of the NFL, and he did exactly that. He did that. And shoot, I hope DFF goes and gets paid and gets a ring. I'm not rooting against him. I'm not rooting against him at all. Right here, do we say bye to Juice then? Juice is nowhere near DFF. Juice just needs to play 20 to 30 snaps only. Because of all the running back injuries, Kyle Juszczyk was used way more than he should have, just like Leonard Floyd was, just like Malik Collins was, just like Jordan Elliott was, go down to Eric Saubert was. And those aren't those players. Right here. What about Curtis Robinson? Curtis Robinson is a restricted free agent, him and Jordan Mason. We only have two. They'll have to be tendered appropriately. Then they sign that tender. We're not at that point yet in the offseason. Jordan Mason and Curtis Robinson are not going anywhere, but they're not at that point in the NFL calendar yet. So Curtis Robinson, I would probably say 98, 99% likely. He was our Walter Payton Man of the Year. He chose not to go to the Titans and be on their 53-man roster to stay with the 49ers on a practice squad because he's a fit. He'll be here. He will be here. I do agree with that big time. I'm way behind. I am way behind the chat. That's okay. Jason, again. You're at 40, I think. I'm in Dallas. My kids go to a 6A school. I see this every day. Very suspect. It happens a lot. It does. At some point, everybody gets kind of caught up in the whole idea of me as a coach, especially in Texas football, right? Friday Night Lights, all that stuff. Constant reminder, these are 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. We're not here for your glory. We're here to turn them into men. Better fathers, better husbands, better sons. That's what we need. And so football is merely the avenue in which to do that. And I love football more than anybody. I've contributed my entire life. I started playing full pads in third grade, which was stupid. I love it. But that's not what we're here for. Any coach, any level, so much respect for them. But you got to do what's right. Big Toe, appreciate the super chat. Burks almost got a pick in the end zone. 49ers versus Kansas City Super Bowl. He did. He almost did. That number two linebacker spot has killed us in the Super Bowls. If you remember, Quan Alexander came back from that torn pec or tricep. I don't remember. He was the worst player in the Super Bowl in 2019. He was awful. Almost had a pick as well. Then when Greenlaw went down, Oren Burks stepped in. He was terrible in that one as well. Right here, David. John, did any of the kids you ever coached go pro? I think seven total made it to the NFL at some point, which is very, very rare. But great kids, and I love it, man. I don't like to put their names out there. Not really my style. Sometimes I let it slip in the show sometimes, and I apologize about that. All right, now back to more additions, or I guess just maintaining. All of the 49ers exclusive rights free agents, there were six, have been tendered to where they will be on the 90-man roster going forward, right? Evan Anderson, he's the number one. Love me some Evan Anderson. He is by far one of the bright spots in our defensive tackle room. Is he a three-down player? Not so much. We're going to talk about this second half of the show. But so great versus the run. Jalen Graham, linebacker, special teams play. We lost him. We got him back. Good dude. Sam Okwuanu. Love this dude, man. Incredible. I love that he is part of our defensive end rotation. Jake Tonjes, tight end. The 49ers don't seem to trust him. Even whenever Kittle was out, even when Kittle was injured, he still didn't get snaps. And that's, Eric Saubert. Rough. I like Jake Tonjes, and I think he's a good practice squad type guy. I don't think the 49ers trust him to be a tight end two or three moving forward. Austin Pleasants, who we got late at the tackle spot, played all right. And Alex Barrett, all-time locker room guy, all-time practice squad player, got called up a couple times last year and made impacts. Really, really good player. So those six players, Anderson, Graham, Okwuanu, Tonjes, Pleasants, and Barrett, all on the 90-man roster, Jordan Mason, Curtis Robinson, I believe that they will be tendered and will be on this team as well moving forward. Jordan Mason, a little more risky because you got to tender him high, probably second-round tender. That dude, again, led the NFL in rushing through 6 weeks. He's a baller. Curtis Robinson, I don't think there's going to be near as much competition there, so he'll be a lot cheaper. Now, a couple things we're going to talk about. Defensive tackles. I'm so excited about this as soon as we get back. The NFL season may be done, but betting with MyBookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. You're a big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, let's dive into defensive tackle class. I have said this many a times. I think that this could be, if we're just looking at pre-draft hype or whatever else, I think this is the best defensive tackle or interior defensive lineman, however you want to phrase that, defensive tackle class in NFL history. The depth, the top tier, all that stuff. Now we have to see how they do. But the potential's there. I mean, it is. It's unbelievable. Now, Mike C., shout out to the man, he emailed me and asked this. He said, how many defensive tackles are starter worthy? Assuming some are just rotational pieces, how many are starter worthy? So let's dive into a football philosophical understanding of what a starting defensive tackle is in the NFL, okay? A starter is somebody that can play on all three downs that is not a liability in the run or the pass rush game. So you have to be somewhat of a quote-unquote complete defensive tackle. Can't be a liability in the run. You have to offer something, and you have to have some type of pass rush upside. That is a complete or quote-unquote starter-level defensive tackle player. That is the rubric that we are using to understand that. Now, a rotational piece is somebody like an Evan Anderson. Evan Anderson's awesome, but he's a run down, early down only guy. Doesn't mean he can't play against the pass, but he doesn't provide enough upside for him to get snaps in there. So you are constantly subbing Evan Anderson out. Now, I'm sure somebody has this question. Yeah, but coach, whenever they show the starting lineup, Evan Anderson or guys like Evan Anderson, they're listed on there. Hi, I'm Evan Anderson from, you know, FAU, whatever. Well, just because you're out there for the first snap of the game, which is a quote-unquote starter, does not merit the fact that you are a starting caliber player, if that makes sense. Because a lot of teams, now today's NFL is a little bit different with the pass-happy rules and all that stuff, but just because you're out there on the first snap does not necessarily make you the starter. Let me go into that a little bit more. Think about our nickel defense. Now, we are out in nickel, 4-2-5, five defensive backs. 70% of the time in the NFL, the 49ers are. Well, what if you've got DFF out there, your number three linebacker, or Curtis Robinson, or D. Winters, whoever it is? They're out there for the first snap, but are they the starter? No, I do not consider them to be the starter. I hope that kind of makes sense. So, back to this idea of defensive tackle class, okay? A starter is somebody that can play both without a major disadvantage. And it's rotational pieces aren't bad, but whenever I'm talking starters, I'm talking starters. I got 24. Now, Daniel Jeremiah, he put this out there, and he said last year he had 12 starting grades on defensive tackles. This year he has 24. So I'm going to go through, and I'm going to tell you my 24 starters. I'll go into depth on some, not most. But again, these are guys that can play the run, can play the pass, and are not a liability in either one. Now, some of these players, like an Alfred Collins, I consider him a starting level player. He does offer some pass rush versatility, whatever. Like, he's not a liability there. But, like, Alfred Collins is a run-stuffing defensive tackle who can rush the passer. That's not his specialty, but again, Alfred Collins, just to put this into perspective, Jordan Elliott started 13 games this season for the 49ers. I do not consider him a starting caliber player. I don't. So you got to kind of work with what you got, right? These are, and I will say this, all 24 of these players that I'm about to mention, I would have above Jordan Elliott where he is now as a pro. Where he is now as a pro. I had a third round grade on Jordan Elliott. I had a late second, early third round grade. His consistency has gotten worse. These guys, we'll see what they could become. Now, here's 24 names in no particular order, and I'm going to go out of order right off the bat because we had a super chat to end the episode last time from a man, John Lottie, and he says, have you looked at defensive tackle JT Tuimoloau? Okay, and the answer is yes, out of Ohio State. A dude is a beast. He is one of my 24. I haven't ranked. I haven't stacked vertically yet my rankings. So right now it's just mass information, watching film, gather. This next week we have the combine. Then you plug in the metrics. Then you start to sort things once you get some of your questions answered from the testing. All right? So back to JT Tuimoloau. 6'5". I got to see where he measures and weighs in because he came in light. 22 years old. Here's my film write-up on him. Instincts, leverage, diversified pass rush plan. Dominated the playoffs with 20 pressures, 10 tackle for loss, 6.5 sacks, and 4 games. So you're talking about playing against the best of the best. JT showed up. Can jolt offensive line with heavy hands and power, then counter with the two-hand swipe. Awareness of offensive run concepts and understanding of how offenses attack him with how they're blocking. And again, shout out to my man, Brian S. I know that he helped on that as well. He's a fun player. Talents off the charts. Some in the 2021 college prospect had him number one ahead of Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers was kind of the consensus number one overall player, but he was up there. He was top five on all three rivals, 24/7, ESPN, whatever one you want to look at. He was there. All Polynesian. He was the Polynesian High School Football Player of the Year. Love that. Basketball stud. This dude got offered a basketball scholarship at Oregon. Now he's playing defensive tackle. How cool is that, man? Communication majors, that helps. Experience, this dude has over 2,000 snaps as an interior defensive lineman. That is level 10. 10 out of 10. Experience, check. Versatility, I got a 5. He's a little light. I think he needs to go to an even front. But he's good. I really, really do like what he's done. And you look at what he did in the playoffs, talking about showing up in big plays. Whew. Oh, here we go. Nobody's ever said this before. David says, John, nailing the pronunciation. I've been bullied enough. I have the pronunciation guide right here. JT Tuimoloau. There we go. I'm working, baby. I'm working. So, hey, Salty, how you doing, brother? Always good to see you. So that's one. I'll go through this relatively quickly. And if I left somebody off, again, I'm not finished with my evaluation. Our evaluations, 49ers rush team works very hard on these. Mason Graham, 1, 2, Derek Harmon, no particular order, okay? This is just the way I have them on my sheet right now, but this is not ranking stacked. I'm just counting for the sole purposes of saying how many startable first pass, first rush players, defensive tackle position they are. Oh, look at that. John, man, I was really stressed because I hit the end button and it's delayed. And then I saw your chat last time, so I apologize. And in the future, if I miss a super chat, I'll always add it to the next show. Thank you so much for your generosity, John. He says, I appreciate you answering my question. JT is a beast. Much love. Dude, nothing but love, brother. I really do appreciate you. So here we go. 1, Mason Graham. 2, Derek Harmon. 3, Walter Nolan. 4, Kenneth Grant. 5, Alfred Collins. 6, Tyleek Williams. 7, TJ Sanders. 8, Darius Alexander. 9, Shamar Turner. 10, Omar Norman Lott. 11, D1 Walker. 12, Jordan Phillips. 13, Joshua Farmer. 14, Jordan Birch. 15, Aeneas Peebles. 16, CJ West. 17, Jamari Caldwell. 18, Simeon Barrow Jr. 19, Elijah Roberts, let's freaking golly, there's so many of these. 20, Howard Cross the third. 21, Cameron Jackson. 22, Riley Mills. 23, Ty Robinson. 24, Tonka Hemingway. Come on, man, that's 24. Now, JT is one of my edge players. Sorry, I probably messed up there. But 6'5", 269. If that dude added weight, might be there, but Edge is where the money's at. That's 24. That doesn't even mention the solid run stuffers or just the pass rush specialist interior guys only. That is just guys that I have all starting, all of them starting over Jordan Elliott, who is currently our starter. Ugh. And again, you know, if I go look at Tonka Hemingway out of South Carolina, all name team, by the way, he's currently ranked 234 on mock draft database. 234. Now, if you look at that pick, 234, that's seventh round. That's not my ranking of him. That's mock draft database, whatever else. But, like, golly. And you just look at, like, I really hope the 49ers get, you know, at least two of these. I would not mind if you drafted three defensive tackles in this class because it is just so awesome. Here's kind of what I got on Tonka already. 6'3", 289. He's light. But the 49ers like that. 23 years old, tough, quick, pass rush upside, 1,900 plus snaps. Again, another guy, he's got a 9 on the experience scale. Like, he does it all. Three-time academic honor roll in the SEC. Won the Gamecocks Toughness Award not once but twice. Has a public health degree. And again, you look at it, like, dude just does everything. Now, he has 5 sacks. The tackle for losses is weird. He got none this year. And so that's kind of weird to me. But he's somebody that just plays well. You turn on that Ole Miss game, and Ole Miss is peppered with talent everywhere. That dude just had a field day. He was wrecking shop. And so that's he's not my number 24, but he's the 24th player I listed that probably going to go in the fifth or sixth round. Golly. So even if you don't get, I know everybody pays attention to the first and second rounds, maybe a little bit of round three. I'm telling you, man, this draft, you don't have the elite blue chippers. Now, I don't think that they exist. Mason Graham would be the only one that I consider an elite blue chipper in the defensive tackle class. But I take the field. I bet somebody on this list is going to be better than Mason Graham. I think Mason Graham is going to be great. I trade up for him. But golly, Derek Harmon, Walter Nolan, Alfred Collins, Tyreek Williams, TJ Sanders, like Omar Norman Lott, who's number 10. That dude could be a double-digit sack player. He is so good at the pass rush. Adius Peebles, who's number 15. That dude is a pass rush stud that can anchor against double teams. That's rare. That is rare. This defensive tackle class is freaking loaded, man. Ah, I freaking love it. Right here, John. Appreciate the super chat again, my friend. With that being said, is it OT at 11? And if none are available, then go best player level, catch a defensive tackle next round. I don't care when you go defensive tackle. As long as you go multiple times. Go twice. I want 2 defensive tackles minimum. Minimum. And I love all the Walter Nolan hype, and I get it. I get it. I get it. But, man, if you told me we went Walter Nolan at 11, I would be happy. But if you told me we went with one of our third-round picks, Omar Norman Lott, and with one of our fourth or fifth-round picks, we went Simeon Barrow Jr. or Elijah Roberts, dude, I might like that as much as a Walter Nolan. So here's the next question, John. It's back to supply and demand. You're talking about a position group, the defensive tackles, that is loaded. So does that push the demand down? Talk about offensive tackle class. There might be one true left tackle. That's Josh Simmons. He's coming off an ACL. Is he removed at 11? Well, then if you're going to project an offensive tackle, I think Kelvin Banks is the truest left tackle. A lot of people don't like him. Well, Will Campbell then, okay? Do you take those guys? Because you can't really get left tackles late. They don't exist too often. They just don't. Man, again, I'm still in this camp. If I'm sitting there at 11, if the 49ers are on the clock and Kelvin Banks Jr. is on the clock, which I don't think he's going to be there at 11. I think he's going to be gone. But if he is, that's my pick. Because you can't get it later. There's some guys I like. Anthony Belton Jr., maybe second, third round, right? You talk about the LSU kid. You know, maybe you get him late. There's guys. There's guys. Alabama A&M, Vinston, or whatever his name is. Like, there's guys that have left tackle traits that perhaps could turn into that. I get that. But if you told me I'm going to get Walter Nolan in the first and then an offensive tackle in the third or fourth, or an offensive tackle in the first and a defensive tackle in the fourth, that's simple to me because I'm getting the best of both. But in a box, if I'm sitting there at 11, it's going to be pretty damn hard. Pretty damn hard to pass on one of those tackles. Let's see here. Let's jump back to the chat here. that's a lot of good DTs. I love it. Bid right here. He says, me too. Unpopular opinion. I think Harmon is defensive tackle 3 in this class. I think it's Mason. And then, you know, whether you got Walter Nolan or Kenneth Grant or, like, there's not that much of a difference between defensive tackle 3 and defensive tackle 8. There's just so many. Invader, there were 24 tackles, defensive tackles invited to last year's combine. This year there's 48. Golly, man. That defensive, whatever. We put out the 49ers rush draft book. You're just going to scroll. It's so much. David said Howard Cross the third and Riley Mills. Yeah, I got both those guys in my top. I got them both there. Tyleek Williams, yes, he's good. Yeah, very, very good. Oh, here we go. General Booty is my favorite name of football right now. Real given name, quarterback from Louisiana Monroe. I love it. I love it. I love it. And yeah, Invader, again, this is kind of where I think everybody is kind of resting. Trade down to no lower than 15 for Walter Nolan, then sit tight or sit tight and take Walter Nolan. If you can find a dance partner, takes two to tango, that's willing to trade up. Oh, man, I do it. Salty. John has nailed it with the importance of experience and snap counts. Every player that we have on our list, we have counted their snap counts, not only how many snap counts they have, but where they line up, all of them. So back to Tonka, right? He's got 1,900 plus snaps. He has 200 plus snaps at nose tackle, 1,070 plus snaps at defensive tackle, 200 at defensive end, 450 outside, that kind of wide nine edge rusher, and he's got 10 as an off-the-ball blitzer. You want to know about versatility? Dude, I'm telling you, man. Like, whenever you look at the charts and all the things that we're developing, it's just paint by numbers after that. Now, the film, that brings the color and the texture and the personality and all those things. But whenever you do all this work that the 49ers rush team is doing, it just gets easy after that. Now, are we going to nail the 49ers picks? That's not what I'm saying at all. But if you know the 49ers like experience, you know they like intelligence, you know they like versatility, and you know they don't like guys that have been injured a lot, man, you just put those four qualifiers on it, I think you're going to be able to tell kind of what they do. David, John, do you do a draft party? We're trying, man. I'm trying to find event space in the Bay Area. It's a struggle. It's so expensive out here. I ain't that rich. But I'm wanting to host a draft party day one and day two in the Bay Area. Just not having much luck. So if you know of anybody or a place that would like to host us, man, we would love to have it. We just ain't super rich. That's a problem. But it'd be on a Thursday and then a Friday, and we fill it up. We'd have a great time. And you get a lot of repeat customers, you know, build your name in the community. I'll even throw some shout outs on the show. So if you know anybody, reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We could make something work. NY Niners, I still love Alfred Collins. Yeah, I think he is the man. What's up, Yacek? My man, Tommy says, John is loaded right now. I'm pumped, man. It's fun on Twitter right now, too, which, you know, social media is not my favorite, but, like, everybody's doing draft work. And so, like, my feed is just loaded with draft videos and breakdowns and, you know, these just mix videos of players, and I just love it. Like, I watch the All 22 all the time, but man, it's kind of fun whenever you're tired and, you know, I walk out of the office and I'm just scrolling on my phone and I can watch defensive tackle play on third and long. Ah, I get so excited. Yeah, I don't know. This is a fun time. There's hope in the air. There's positives. Ah, Eggie, who would be your first three picks of the draft if you choose the players that's in the all-name team? Ooh, Tonka's got to be in there. You got Hutmaker. That one's pretty cool. Kobe Bryant. That one's going to be – I think we're going to be seeing Kobe Bryant's all the time. Utah's got a player named Junior Tafuna. That's pretty badass. Like, all the Samoans always have cool names, right? Jihad Campbell. Like, I'm just scrolling. Jeffrey Bosa. We got a Bosa. Let's go get a Bosa, right? I like names. I really, even though I butcher them all the time. But yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you. Anthony Belton. I do like Anthony Belton. I love it. Right here, Dante Corleone from Cincinnati next year. That is freaking awesome. I love it. Now, to wrap up this conversation about defensive tackles, my man, ask this. Again, this is still the Mike C. email. He says, do you think Sorensen made the defensive tackles look worse? The answer is yes. He made everybody look worse. Every single player defensively was worse this past year. That's how bad Sorensen was. So that's huge. And then to flip it on the other side, Jake Brindle, who he's not good. Is this strong defensive tackle class going to make Jake Brindle an even bigger liability? The answer is yes. Now, on top of that, Father Time has to play a role at some point. Jake Brindle is 32. How many 32-year-olds do you know will develop functional strength in a football career that has never had it at age 32? Zero. It doesn't happen. So what does Brindle offer at this point? I think continuity and durability. That dude is healthy and plays through nagging injuries and doesn't come off the field. Have to give him credit for that. He understands the system. Have to give him credit for that. And he's there. Is he good? No. No. Is he average? No. Not even close. Is he going to become average at 32 years old? He is not. He is not. Really hope we get a center. Because the streets out there for interior offensive linemen, not getting better. You just saw the Super Bowl. Defensive tackles took over that damn game. D-line in general. Man. Yeah. Whew. I like it. This is fun stuff, man. I love the draft this time of year. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be me and the man, Coach Ant from the 49ers Cutback for our Coach Approach show. I've already got a couple questions today. I got people emailing in and saying, hey, I want this discussed on the next Coach Approach. So if you have a question that is football related, kind of schematic, technique, we're going, you know, level 10. We're going deep. That you want to address just when me and Ann are talking, because again, two former coaches, players that can kind of talk through some things, perhaps that we don't do in our regular show and have those kind of coach clinic conversations. Email me, let me know, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com, and just say, hey, want this for the Coach Approach. Let me know. We're in the off season. I love this, and I'm going to keep doing my best to bring fresh content. I don't want to rehash what every other show is like talking about. Not that those are bad things. That's not at all. I want to educate about football. That's what I want to do. So if you have a question like, man, what is this technique they talk? What is the wide nine? What does it mean whenever they do this? Or, you know, whatever. I don't know. If you just don't know, just email me. And if it's a lot of the emails I get, I just respond. But some of them I just say, hey, add it to the show notes. We're going to talk about it on the show, which I've already built up my off-season script here, and I've got, I don't know. I'm sitting on about 30 questions, topics, and I'm just going to keep going through them as best that I can. So you guys are awesome. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. If you did, let me know. I always, I like the conversation. And if you want it to go a certain way or whatever, this is y'all's show. We'll go whichever way y'all want. But the 49ers got more cap space. That's good news. The 49ers are lucky because the draft's deepest position, defensive tackle, is the 49ers' biggest weakness. So now you'll get to address that. I really hope the 49ers do. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow morning show with Coach Approach. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.